Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. No shortage of topics today, that's for sure. Who the heck put that field together? We've got a lot to talk about today. Bucknell's got Monmouth in the opening round of the NIT Wednesday night. That will be at 7:30 at Monmouth. So that's coming up. And you've got the NCAA tournament getting underway, and for some reason, I don't know what the heck I watched last night. I had no idea. I watched that thing last night, and I sat back in total amazement. Are you kidding me? Really? I don't even know where to start with that. Let's start at the top, and then we'll work our way down. Oregon, North Carolina, and Kansas all have one thing in common that makes them really good picks as number one seeds. And that is each one won their regular season championship and each one won their conference tournament. To me, in a Power Five conference, that has some meaning to me. Now let's get to Virginia. Let's see now. Let's count all the trophies they won this year. Okay, I'm done. Virginia did not win the regular season championship, and Virginia did not win the conference tournament. Does that mean Virginia is a lousy team, a mediocre team? No, Virginia is an excellent team. But when you're trying to pick a number one seed, you have to have some hardware behind it. Michigan State won the Big Ten tournament. Michigan State had won its last 12 games in the regular season, 11 by double digits, including Indiana. Had to fight their guts out to win the semifinal, had to fight their guts out to win the final. But they still won it on a neutral floor. In the end, does it matter where teams are seeded to me? Not really, but it does show a lack of basketball savvy on the part of the committee, which then brings you to other decisions later. And that, to me, was something that I found. This is just the beginning of it. Let's go further down the bracket. Explain to me why Kentucky is 4 and Texas A&M is 3. I just watched the game. Kentucky beat them. Now, if they're both in the 3 line, that's fine with me. But Kentucky just beat Texas A&M on a neutral floor. So you're telling me that Texas A&M should be ahead of them? No, they should not be ahead of them. It is as if yesterday didn't count, except for UConn and Memphis, because they had to sweat out whether Memphis would win that game or not. Indiana's a 5 seed. What? I know not all conference schedules are made alike because of the number of teams now or schools in Power 5 conferences. I understand that. Penn State, for example, they had to do a rating of where everybody happened to be. Penn State, for example, played the third hardest schedule in the Big Ten this year. Number three. I think Wisconsin was two, and I can't remember who number one was, but Wisconsin, I think, was second. Indiana's one of the bottom teams as to how tough the conference schedule was. I understand that. But they still went 15-3. They won the regular season. And I know it's only one line, but it does matter as to who you're playing and what matchup you get. They should have been a four seed. Purdue, I could probably buy being a five. Maryland, I could be by being a five. But I look at Texas A&M Kentucky. Excuse me. I just watched the game. Kentucky won the game. Indiana should have been up a line. Maybe Purdue up a line, maybe. But Indiana definitely up one line. I thought when they lost the other day, they took themselves from a three seed down to a four. I really felt to get to a two line. Indiana had to win the whole tournament, and I didn't think they were going to win the whole tournament. And then you get to the bottom. Over the last month, in fact, we'll expand it even further. From November 1st until last night, how many of you had heard the name Tulsa mentioned? Huh? What? They weren't even on the next four out that Joe Lenardi had. And Joe Lenardi's really good at this. Really good at it. Joe usually gets 67 out of 68, usually has him in the right spot in the whole deal. There's a lot of talk about Monmouth. I understand that. And I completely understand where people are going on Monmouth. The committee will tell you they lost three games to teams 200 and above. I do understand that. And Monmouth is going to be the team that Bucknell faces in the opening round of the NIT on Wednesday. But there's a little bit more to it than that. Explain to me what St. Bonaventure was supposed to do. St. Bonaventure won the Atlantic 10. St. Bonaventure had seven wins in the top against the top 70. St. Bonaventure's RPI was 29. And they're not in? Now, obviously, I'm a big fan of Mark Schmidt because Schmidt was here as an assistant coach at one point here at Penn State, so obviously I know Mark very well. And I know Frank Hay, too, the coach at Tulsa. He was here, too. But I looked at this whole thing, and I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. John Calipari was nothing short of outstanding last night on the show. When he was being interviewed on ESPN. And he really summed it up because I don't think anybody knows what it takes to get into this tournament. Win as many games as you can and do whatever you can. But this is John Calipari last night on the ESPN selection show. Talking with Reese Davis, and this is where he takes off on the committee and discusses what the heck happened as he says there's a four seed.
Wait a minute. Now, you've been following this. You're surprised? You not watched this over the last few years?
Yeah.
That surprised you?
Yeah.
Why not? Come on. A&M got a three seed. Did we not play a basketball game today? I'm happy for A&M. They got a three. I said, what in the world? Are we going to get a three or a two? And I was surprised we didn't get a five. Look, all the stuff, I always say this, when you misseed a team, It's not that team you hurt. It's the teams they play. That's who you hurt. That's Wichita State. Yep. There's no reason they should have played us in the second round. They were 31-0. They were the number one team. And all of a sudden they play us. Look, at the end of the day, they're not stealing my joy, that little group of 10 who says this year it's top 50 wins. Last year it was road wins. 2 years ago it was RPI. It's a moving target. Instead of making it, this is how we're going to rate these teams. They're not stealing my joy. We just won a championship. We'll go to Des Moines. I wouldn't have mind going to Anchorage. I thought they tried to send us to Anchorage because, look, I watched the Alaska Bush people and the Last Frontier. I would have had the Kilchers right behind my bench. It would have been unbelievable up there. Maybe had the Warriors, throw them in there. I mean, it would have been fun. They're not stealing my joy. If they think they are, they're out of their mind. They build my team up. Thank you.
Okay, so
I did a Dickie B.
And that is a perfect summary of what we attempted to watch for 2 hours last night. I don't know what we watched. In the end, does it matter that Virginia is a 1 and Michigan State's a 2? Absolutely not. To me, it's all about matchups, and he's absolutely right. You hurt the matchup. But Tulsa's in? I never heard Tulsa's in. And believe me, I'm friends with Frank Haith. Tulsa's in? I never even heard them mentioned. I haven't heard Tulsa's name mentioned from November 1st until last night. They're in. St. Bonaventure, out. Monmouth, out. San Diego State, out. St. Mary's, I wasn't buying St. Mary's anyway. They did not play in an in-season tournament. They played fewer games than everybody else because they were penalized. And again, if you're penalized, there's a reason you're penalized. Sean will run down his entire bracket for us in the after show as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Join News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter at WKOK1070. It's your source for breaking local and national news. You'll get a tweet of each story on WKOK and a link to for more info from WKOK.com. And you can find out the guest list for the Dan Patrick Show and the Steve Jones Show. It's another way to keep you informed all day, every day. If you have a Twitter timeline, you need to follow News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter at WKOK1070.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. I don't know what I watched last night. It's obvious Michigan. Look, Michigan gets into the field. They're going to bring eyeballs to the TV set. I got it. They had a great tournament out in Chicago. But do you realize that the 12 losses they have, 11 of the 12 are by double digits? And the Penn State people were aching to play them again. I mean, they know that in the end they're the ones that didn't get it, because if they'd beaten Northwestern, they would have had Michigan in the opening round. The Penn State coaches really wanted to play Michigan, and they felt they were there as a team that they matched up really well with. It is... I don't know what they were looking at. I don't know. As soon as I saw... as soon as I saw the one seeds come out and Virginia was a one, to me, I thought, I felt like Virginia was playing North Carolina for which one be a one, which one be a two. And is there any real difference between a one and a two? No, there really isn't. But this, to me, was they're in love with the ACC in this one. Because the ACC, last year, the ACC didn't fare that well. It's almost like they made up for it this year. North Carolina is an excellent team. I like North Carolina a lot, except for one thing. North Carolina is not, keep this in mind, as they get deeper in the tournament, North Carolina is not a well-balanced basketball team. Now, I don't mean in terms of floor balance or whatever. Their mid-range in, their mid-range game, really good. Inside game, outstanding. North Carolina, and North Carolina is also a good defensive team. North Carolina is not a good three-point shooting team. At some point in the tournament, that is going to cost them. Kansas is great at both ends. Oregon, they got to do something about the Pac-12 network, because you know what? They played at the MGM Grand Arena. Do you realize that in the hotel on the Pac-12 network, you couldn't watch the games because they don't have the Pac-12 network in the hotel? Not good. And again, then you get to the bottom. Now, a lot of people complain about Syracuse. The only thing about Syracuse that I always try and keep in mind when I look at Syracuse, they had five wins against the top 50. That, to me, really counts. This mumbo-jumbo about whether Boeheim's in or not, to me, is irrelevant. I would have looked at everybody in the room and said, excuse me, there's a reason he didn't coach? And I am not for a second saying it was Jim Boeheim's fault. I am not insinuating that. But under the new rules, the head coach isn't there because of how they are now ruling, and they're putting the head coach in that position of overall responsibility. Thus, they're suspending him. And he got suspended. He didn't get suspended for three games. He got suspended for nine games. Well, they went 4-5 in those nine games. Okay. He went 4-5 in those nine games. But they did well enough to me in the other games. And they're not only in, they were actually way in. You're a 10 seed, you're way in. They weren't in that 11-12 seeded area. They were in. So a lot of people complain about Syracuse. I'm not going to complain about Syracuse getting in. When you're a 10, you're in. But they gave the ACC a lot of love this year. Lots of love. Big Ten got seven teams in, but Michigan State's a two, should have been a one. Indiana's a five, should have been a four. Maryland is a five, and Purdue is a five, I'm okay with. What was Wisconsin, a six? Makes sense. Iowa's a seven, and that makes sense because they fell to a seventh. They earned it. In fact, Iowa's going to really struggle in the opening round with Temple. And Michigan gets, I think, somewhat of a gift. They get in as 11. Patrick Chambers decided no postseason play. We'll talk about that later. Today, James Franklin at his press conference about spring ball. We'll talk about that. We had a lot going on today. Sean Carey's complete analysis of the bracket. An annual rite of passage coming up. He's got every game broken down in such a way that even Vegas listens.
Maybe not. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. When I go out on a golf course with Kevin Herr, I get more insurance from the Purdy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. They put the customer first. That's why. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Joined now by the head basketball coach at Bucknell, Nathan Davis. They open up Wednesday night at Monmouth. Coach, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks. It's great to be with you once again.
All right. So, it's on the road. You got the most entertaining bench in the world to face. Yippee. what were your thoughts just on how it played out? I mean, did you have any expectation as to what it could or couldn't happen?
We certainly thought that Monmouth, once they weren't in the field, was going to be a real possibility because obviously they've had a great year. They probably should be in the NCAA tournament, so we figured they're going to be a pretty high seed in the NIT. So we weren't surprised at all. Been busy getting to work, trying to figure out how we're going to try to compete and get a chance to win a game, and we'll go from there.
What's the value of this for you in the end? Is it additional practice, or is it more to have the younger players go through another one and done to play with that kind of possession-by-possession mentality?
Well, I think it starts off, I mean, it's hard to get in the NIT. People talk about that, but especially when you're mid-major like we are, you're not getting in unless you win your league. And to go through the regular season, which is kind of a grind, and you can't kind of get lucky to win it. You got to go out there and play well for an extended period of time and win. It's a great opportunity to get a chance to play with these guys once again. You go in and it's about winning the game. We're not thinking so much about next year's team or what we need to do here. It's about trying to give ourselves the best chance we can to win this game. And hopefully we can win this game and go try to figure out how to win another one.
The initial read on Monmouth, what did you think when you popped the first video in?
Unfortunately, I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah. So did Notre Dame, UCLA, USC, Georgetown, they thought they were pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean they're pretty good. Certainly they've got really good guard play. They can score in a variety of ways. They got guys that can shoot it. They got big guys in the middle. They're athletic, so they provide any number of problems, which all those schools you mentioned have seen now.
Do they create matchup problems anywhere? And I don't just mean with your team, but a couple of guys you look at and say, you know what, that's a matchup problem for anybody.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, their point guard Justin Robinson is very good. I mean, he shoots a three. 40%. He shoots from the field at 45%. He gets to the foul line. He gets assists. I mean, he's a very good player against anybody. And then I think a lot of what you look at is with the way they can rotate lineups, they can play big, they can play small, that they can affect what you want to do in a number of different ways. So you got to be ready for a little bit of everything.
I was watching Jay Wright yesterday, and he said that when they had the selection party for them down at Villanova, it was at least a starting point of healing for them after losing to Seton Hall. What was the process for you? Because, the healing process for you and your basketball team so that you can now be ready as you can to play this game coming up?
You know, it's interesting. I think Coach Wright kind of hit it on the head there. We were talking, our women's head coach, Aaron Rossell, had asked me last night before the selection show when I started to feel better. They lost a tough game over the weekend, too, and didn't win their league. And I said, it hasn't really started yet. But then once you kind of see who you're playing and can focus in on what you need to do to win that game, it lets you kind of move on. So I think really for everyone, I mean, guys have worked hard and people have been trying to get better, but it's still kind of in the back of your mind. But now that you've got something tangible to focus on, it certainly helps tremendously.
All right. Well, how'd your team handle the past week in practice when you took a look at them?
I thought our guys, again, you got to give our guys a lot of credit. They really compete. They want to be good. They're a tough-minded group. We've had bad times before, and they've always bounced back. And I no doubt they do that again. And so what we wanted to do, we wanted to spend a lot of time making sure we, one, stayed in shape. We wanted to make sure that we had a chance to try to work on something to get ourselves better. And we wanted to stay fresh and kind of hopefully get healthy, which is something everyone wants to do. And I thought our guys did a good job of coming in and doing what we asked them to do and making sure that we'll be ready to go this week.
I mean, you're a conference that has to play a little bit earlier than the Power Five conferences do. How concerned are you with the layoff between competitive games to your next competitive game?
Well, I think that's an interesting thing to look at. I mean, I think you kind of get in a routine where you're playing every couple of days, and you get used to it, and that helps. I'm sure there'll be some rust in some areas, but at the same time, we've played enough now that we should know what to expect. Like I said, it's been good in some ways to have some time to kind of let some bodies heal and try to get some legs back and that type of stuff. So hopefully, that'll kind of balance it out.
Do you shorten it even more so this time of the year, or because it's completely unknown, do you have to put a little bit more work in?
As far as practice goes, or benching? Practice has been. We've been trying to be a lot of up and down, trying to get a lot of running in and shorter, so we can stay with our wind, but that we're not beating each other up the whole time either.
How much do you like to give the players on the scouting report?
We give them a good bit. I think it's, I mean, you don't want to overkill it, but there's some guys that remember more than other guys. You try to give it to them, we try to give it to them in different ways. So some guys learn better on the board, some learn better by seeing it, some learn better by going on the floor and doing it. So you try to present it in a number of different ways, because anything that they can hold on to can be helpful. And it doesn't even matter if it's, you'd like them all to remember everything, but even if their point guard remembers this is a ball screen and their center remembers one thing, if you put it all together, it can be the difference between winning and losing at the end of the game.
How much in the end is it about you versus about knowing about them?
I think it's a lot about understanding your concepts and how you want to do things and then reacting in the game. Basketball is basketball. I mean, you're not running. It's not like we're going to go out there and see something we haven't seen before. Throughout the year, it's going to be stuff we've seen. We got to recognize it, and we got to fly around and be ready to play.
I mentioned the one-and-done and the possession-by-possession game. What does it take, Nathan, from your point of view, mentally, to play in a possession-by-possession game?
Well, I think it's something you talk about all year long. Now it's kind of amplified because everyone's good, so it's going to be the difference between winning and losing is going to be very small. So you got to go with the idea that you're going to do everything you can to win every possession. Understand that you're not, but you got to be able to move on to the next one. And the biggest thing is, when things aren't going well, is can you get yourself out of it? Can you make it instead of going 2 minutes or four possessions in a row where things aren't going well, so that you can limit it to one or two mistakes and get it back on track? That's the biggest difference.
What have you liked about coaching this team?
Offensive firepower. Number one is great.
if the team I was broadcasting for had your points per possession, I'd say the same thing.
it's nice when you draw something up and it goes in, it makes you look a lot smarter than you probably really are. So that's good. But I think that our guys resolve and their ability to bounce back from tough situations. I mean, there were times we played well, there were times obviously we didn't play very well, but we kept coming back and working on getting better, staying focused on a goal, and I think we accomplished a lot with being able to win the regular season. We were certainly disappointed that the tournament didn't go the way we wanted to, but I think our guys accomplished a lot during the regular season. I like the way we've come back here in the last week or so. I thought we had a great workout today, and we'll be ready to go on Wednesday.
You know, every once in a while I ask a good question, too, and I'm like, hey, that accidentally happened. All right, it makes me look good. So I know that feeling.
Yes.
Are you on spring break right now?
We are, yes.
Okay. All right. So that meant you went this morning. When are you going to be allowed to leave for Jersey?
We will leave tomorrow. We're going to practice in the morning, get our stuff together, get on the bus early afternoon and get up there and get settled in and get a good meal and walk through and film all that stuff and be ready to go Wednesday night. So I think it's one advantage right now is being on spring break is, again, it's back to just basketball. So they can rest and are in class all day. They won't like hearing that around here, but it makes my job a little easier as far as scheduling and things.
Hey, if you're on spring break, it's just fine, okay?
That's right.
That's fine. They'll get back to class eventually. There's going to be a team bus that will leave at 1 o'clock on Wednesday and head straight to the pregame reception. Mm-hmm. On the Monmouth campus, and that's going to be happening. I wanted to point that out to the fans. Contact Bucknell about that, because obviously the more Bucknell fans, the better on Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
Coach, best of luck to you on Wednesday night against Monmouth. And One more point about this. I wanted to ask one last question. As somebody who is a veteran of announcing 29 NIT games, I've had more than my share. Okay. One thing I've noticed in the opening round is interest is really important. Who's interested in being in the tournament? That's just my experience of doing this for 9,000 years. What do you think about that part as to who's interested and who's not?
I think that's obviously, and the more you talk to people that have been around it, that's a big part of it. I think in some ways, unfortunately, I have no doubt Monmouth will be ready to go trying to prove something. But we've got a lot to prove, too. I mean, I think we can go out there and compete with the best, and we have to go out there and play hard and play smart and play together. It's a lot of coaching cliches, but that's what we're going to have to do.
Right.
And hopefully we can do those things. We'll give ourselves a chance to win.
Well, there's a reason their cliches are usually true. So, Nathan, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Good luck on Wednesday night at Monmouth.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
As always, Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. By the way, one quick note. Don't forget, you can also listen to the game on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on Eagle 107 with the tip-off set for 7:30. There is nothing like Doug broadcasting from New Jersey. It just seems to fit together. Doug Birdsong and New Jersey together. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, Penn State elected. We're going to get to the football part in the next half hour as well. James Franklin with some position moves he talked about today. Basketball-wise, Penn State elected not to go to a postseason tournament. The NIT was an absolute long shot to begin with and really not on the board for Penn State because of all the automatic bids such as Bucknell and Monmouth both going to the NIT. That's two examples. I believe 15 spots are automatic bids. The way it broke down this year, that meant there were only 17 openings when it was all said and done. So with 17 openings, there's no way Penn State was going to get that at 16 and 16 on the year. So that's out. Penn State never did put in the paperwork for the CBI. Those who are regular listeners of the show already know that I told you that about a month ago that they didn't put it in. But it's always worth repeating just so people understand. It's the second year in a row that Penn State said, nah, we're not going to put in paperwork for the CBI. CBI experience 2 years ago for Penn State really was not a great experience. Even though they won a game in it and then they lost a game, a close game at Siena, it really was not a great experience across the board. And they didn't put in the paperwork last year. They didn't put in the paperwork this year. Then there's the Vegas 16 tournament. They had talked about the possibility of it, but then after Dick Girardi and I sat down with Patrick in the locker room after Thursday night's game, we probably spent, I don't know, between 5 and 10 minutes in there with Pat. We really got the feeling at that point that they weren't going to do it, and they didn't. You know, figured, you know, the way they played down the stretch, they went 5-4 the last 9 games against good competition, beat Indiana, beat Iowa, that they ended it on a high note. I think every team brings with it its certain reason as to why you're doing something. Number one, you never turn down an NIT bid. You never do that. Okay, so that's an absolute. But the CBI, which they didn't put the paperwork in for, and then there was this Vegas 16 tournament. Well, the Vegas 16 tournament Penn State looked into, well, there's been some interesting developments with this. It has nothing to do with Penn State. It has to do with everybody else. And what's happened is that Penn State's not the only one to do this. Northwestern said no to CBI in Vegas 16. Penn State said no to Vegas CBI. NC State said no. Stanford said no, then fired Johnny Dawkins today. Who else said no? Nebraska said no. And UCLA said no. And I'm trying to think. Somebody from the Big 12 said no. Kansas State. Kansas State said no to it. Now, they don't have enough teams to fill the 16. And now there's talk of what are they going to do? Are they going to make it the Vegas 8? And Colorado State also declined a bid to the Vegas 16 and the CBI. Colorado State's a pretty good basketball team. But they're all saying, everybody is saying no to this stuff. And now people are wondering if the Vegas 16 is going to disappear. Do you go with eight teams? But I think they were hoping to get the NC States, the Penn States, the Kansas States of the world to go out there. I think it's a really good concept. It's a really good concept on paper, except for this part. It's when it's played. It's Easter weekend. The first round of four games would have been the 26th. And then Easter Sunday would have been the 27th with the next round. And then it goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If they want a recommendation from the outside looking in, I would tell them to move the tournament up a week. That if you moved it up a week, where suddenly you're going and you're playing this Saturday and not having 2 weeks off to do this thing, I think it would make a big difference as to what you're doing, that you're back into the flow of playing right away. And I think the fact that it's 2 weeks out, and all the Power Five conferences said no to this, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, they all said no, and they thought they were going to attract all these people to Mandalay Bay. I thought it had a chance, and I said I felt it was worth watching to see what kind of field they were to get for this. Well, right now they're not getting any field. None. And they're struggling right now to get 16 teams. It looks like they're going to get 8. Now the question is, do you still keep the tournament or do you bag it or do you go with 8?
How long has the Vegas 16 existed?
This is the first time ever. Jim Livingood, who is the former athletic director at Arizona State, is well known and is a big name in intercollegiate athletics. He's the guy running the tournament. And I'm surprised. I don't know if there's something underlying here. First of all, Sean, it's $50,000 to get in. Okay. That's fine. I understand that. $50,000. But that takes care of the hotel, takes care of transportation. And then there's some left over from Mandalay Bay, obviously. They're running the tournament. They should get something out of it beyond just ticket prices. Penn State already went to Vegas. Penn State's 16-16. Do you want to risk being 16-17 and having a sour feeling? No. Now, next year's team, you're going to remember, the core is Brandon Taylor. Then you add in Donovan Jack, Jordan Dickerson, and Devin Foster. It's four seniors. Every team's different. If Penn State is in this general neighborhood next year, like 17, let's say Penn State, for the sake of argument, 17-15 a year from now. Do I take that team to postseason play? Yes. Now, why would I do that? Because I will have no seniors on the team, and I want them to go into a one-and-done situation and attempt to achieve some success and understand the pressure cooker of playing one-and-done. That's why I would do it with that team. This team, not so much. I thought Vegas 16 had a real shot here because the NIT's changed so much with all the automatic bids. I thought Vegas 16 had a chance to really make a mark. And they're not making any mark. In fact, now they're on life support before they've even played a game. Part of it is they got to move the schedule back a week if they want to somehow succeed with this thing and get out of that weekend. Number two, keep this in mind too. Madison Square Garden will host the Big Ten tournament in 2 years. In order to play the tournament at MSG, they have to move the tournament up a week because the Big East has the Garden booked through 2026. Keep this in mind. You may see Big Ten teams explore the possibility
of playing non-conference games after the conference tournament is over. Maybe a non-conference game, maybe one. Why? Because it's too much time off between games. You may see Big Ten teams schedule a non-conference game after the conference tournament 2 years from now because they'll have that entire week with nothing going on. It's okay to heal up and maybe on a Thursday night play it or something like that so that you don't have a week off before you play an NCAA tournament game or an NIT game. Just something to file away for future reference for a couple of years from now.